Last week was Mother's Day, and I thought last week's service, last week's day was just tremendous. I think Dale gave an awesome message, great message, and some of you have been even teasing me about that, you know, like, hey, you know, she's going to take your place and all that, and I'm secure in my identity. I'm secure, so, hey, I actually asked her to speak more. It's not going to be her. If you want her to speak more, you got to talk to her, but the men showed out with refreshments. I heard so many compliments about the refreshments and things. So what I thought is, for Father's Day, women, I want you to step up too. So we'll have a competition for women too. And we'll see if the women respond to that. But yeah. So today we're starting a new series on heaven, on what heaven is like. So what is heaven like? You know, I think nearly everyone wants to go to heaven and desires to go to heaven. But you know, very few people really, I think, have an idea, an understanding of what heaven's like, what it's all about. I think people generally think, well, it's a good place, and it beats the alternative, right? It beats the alternative, but we really don't have a clear picture of what heaven's about. So we're going to do this series. On Easter, I had showed a video of this comedian, Mike Goodwin, and he talks about heaven and hell. It's so good, short, and it's so good. So I thought we'd see it again. So let's watch it again. This is Mike Goodwin, comedian Mike Goodwin.
My grandma said there are only two things in life that you worry about: whether you're healthy or whether you're sick. If you're healthy, you ain't got nothing to worry about. But if you're sick, you got two things to worry about: whether you're going to get better, whether you're going to get worse. You get better, you ain't got nothing to worry about. But if you get worse, you got two things to worry about: whether you're going to live, whether you're going to die. If you live, you ain't got nothing to worry about. But if you die, you got two things: whether you're going to heaven, whether you're going to hell. If you go to heaven, you ain't got nothing to worry about. But if you go to hell, you got two things to worry about: original or extra crispy. That's the thing.
I love that. I love that idea. But he talks about heaven and hell. And heaven is a good place, but do we really know what it's going to be like? What's going to happen there? What is it like? And what are we going to do in heaven? What are we going to do? Here are some artist pictures I found. Their impressions of heaven, right? Here's one. Here's another one. This is a very famous picture, painting of heaven. Here's a third one. All those are different people's idea of heaven. And you know what? What these pictures depict is a concept of heaven I think a lot of people have. A lot of people think heaven, we're going to be these disembodied spirits that are kind of floating around, maybe in the clouds, right? Maybe you're going to have a harp, and we're going to be in a worship service 24/7 for the rest of eternity, right? We think it's going to be this endless worship service where we're just worshiping God all the time. Well, it's better than the alternative, right? But really? Is that what heaven's going to be like? Just floating around and just worshiping God all the time and maybe playing an instrument or something and just hanging out. So what does the Bible say? What does the Bible really say about what heaven's like? Are there any clues in the Bible about heaven, right? What kind of picture does it get? Will it be like, what will we do in heaven? Will we do anything in heaven? Will we know people? Will we recognize people? And can you be sure that you're really going to go there? So these questions and others we're going to address this Sunday and next Sunday, and we're going to talk about it over the next couple of weeks. And I'm excited about what we're going to learn, what we're going to discover, because I think you'll be surprised by some of the things the Bible says about heaven. So I'm going to start, let's just start with giving a little background, kind of setting it up. Let's give a little background about heaven and what the Bible says about heaven. Now, the Bible, when it uses the word heaven, it refers to different things, okay? Different things or different actually levels of kind of space or sky. Let's look at this picture. All right. And so when the Bible uses the word heaven, it could refer to, on the left, first heaven or the sky, right? The sky. So it says like heaven and earth, oftentimes just referring just to the atmosphere, the sky. But sometimes when it uses the word heaven, it's referring to the sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies, what we would refer to as outer space. So heaven, the word heaven refers to that sometimes. There's also with this kind of middle or second heaven, there's also in the Bible a reference to this idea of it being the heavenly realms or the heavenly presence, right? And what that refers to in different places, especially in the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians refers to this heavenly place, right? It refers to like five times in the book of Ephesians. And what that's talking about is the spiritual realm where angels and demons exist. And there's continual warfare going on in this spiritual realm. So some people think of that and call that second heaven, right? But there's heaven can refer to this. But then heaven can also refer to the third heaven. Paul calls it in Philippians the third heaven, or Galatians, the third heaven, right? I got caught up in the third heaven. And what that refers to is where God dwells, okay? The place where God dwells, God's home, where God's throne is. And I think most of the time when we refer to heaven, that's what we're referring to, where God dwells, where it's paradise, where it's perfect, where we all hope to be one day. This is a verse from Psalms, and it kind of refers to it. There's many verses that refer to this kind of third heaven or the place where God dwells. Psalm 33, the Lord looks down from heaven and sees the whole human race. From his throne, he observes all who live on the earth. So this verse says God is up there in the third heaven on his throne. That's his dwelling place, and he's looking down, and he sees all of it. He sees you right now. He knows you. He sees all that's going on with you and with me and with people on the earth, okay? And that's the place, I think, generally, that's the place people think about when they think about, I want to go to heaven after I die. I hope to go to heaven. Now, an interesting thing about heaven and earth is that there is a current, right now, heaven and earth, this earth we live on, but there's going to be, the Bible says, a future heaven and a future earth. So there's a current heaven and earth, but there's a future new heaven and new earth. And so with that question, you might be asking yourself, or with that thought, you might be asking yourself, so what happens to the people that die now? My dad passed away many years ago. Dale's mom just passed away last year. They were believers in Christ. What happens to them? If there's a heaven and an earth, and then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, where are they? What happens to them? Okay, before answering that question, let me make this crystal clear from the Bible's perspective. John 14:6, Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So this is Jesus speaking his own words. And he says, he's the only way to the Father. He is the only way to heaven. 1 John 5:11-13. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son, that's Jesus, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. So the Bible is clear. Very, very clear. When we're talking about heaven and going to heaven after we die, it all hinges on whether we believe in Jesus or not. That's the Bible's clear perspective. If you believe in Jesus, if you're committed to following him, you can know without a doubt that your future will be with God in heaven. Okay, now let's go back to the question. Circle back to the question. So if you believe in Jesus, then you will go to heaven. But what happens to you? What happens to a person that believes it, that dies now before there's the new heaven and the new earth? Right? Well, first, if you die now and you believe in Jesus, you will go directly to heaven to be with the Lord. Right? Luke 23:43. Then he said, this was the thief on the cross. Okay, Jesus was crucified on the cross, right? Celebrate that on Easter. There was two thieves that were crucified with him, and they were talking. One thief was kind of heckling Jesus, but the other one had compassion for Jesus. He said, this man's innocent. He shouldn't be up here. And then he says to Jesus, Jesus, remember me. And this is how Jesus responds to him. Jesus replied, or it says, then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied to this thief, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. So Jesus said, this day, after we both die, you're going to be with me today in paradise. And so the Bible in other places too, it says, if we die now, if you have loved ones that have died, have believed in Jesus, they are in heaven with the Lord. Okay? They're in heaven with the Lord. But, second point, you will be waiting for the new heaven and the new earth when you will be fully restored and get your new body. All right? So you are with the Lord in heaven, the heaven now, the current heaven, you are with the Lord. But in that time, you will be waiting for the new heaven and the new earth. And at that time, you will get your new resurrected, brand spanking new model version body to live in. Okay, now let's look at this. This is a very interesting passage, Revelation 6:9-11. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, that's the Lamb, that's Jesus, I saw under the altar the souls of all who had been martyred. So those that were killed for their faith, for the word of God, and for being faithful in their testimony. They shouted to the Lord and said, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge the people who belong to this world and avenge our blood for what they have done to us? So John sees this vision of heaven. And in this heaven, he sees the people who have been martyred for their faith. They have died because they profess Christianity and they were under persecution. And these martyrs, although they are with the Lord, they're saying, how long do we need to wait? So another little clue, another little fun fact, there's time in heaven, right? Because they're saying, how long do we have to wait? There's time. So they said, how long do we need to wait before we're avenged? And they're waiting for their full restoration. All right? When they will get their new bodies, they will have their new life. it'll be a new heaven and new earth, right? Then, verse 11, a white robe was given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little longer until the full number of their brothers and sisters, their fellow servants of Jesus who were to be martyred, had joined them, right? So they're within heaven, the current heaven, they are with the Lord, but they are waiting until the full restoration, right? They're waiting until the full. So it's kind of like this. Let's say you were planning a vacation trip of a lifetime. You're going to Paris, France. You know, I went to Paris, France just for a short few days. I was surprised. That was one of my favorite places I've been to. I really liked it there. I really loved Paris. Let's say you plan a vacation and you're going to Paris, but you have a layover, a stopover in New York City, right? So you go to New York City and you imagine you have a great time in New York City. You see the Statue of Liberty. You eat like New York pizza, right? You go to Katz, right? And have a pastrami sandwich, right? All that. But let's say before you left, the ticket agent said, where are you headed? Although you would have a great time in New York, what would you say? Paris, right? You would say, that's my final destination, Paris, but we're going to have a layover in New York City. If you die now, you go to heaven, that's like a layover. You're with the Lord, it's like a layover. You'll have a great time because you'll be with the Lord. You might see people who have died before you. You'll be reunited. It's going to be great. But that's not your final destination. Your final destination is the new heaven, but the new earth. The new earth is our final destination, right? So you might be thinking now, well, okay, but what is it like? What is a new heaven and earth like? One clue to what this new heaven and new earth is like, especially the new earth, just walk outside and look around. There's a reason why the Bible calls it a new earth. Because in some ways, it's going to be like the old earth, right? Because he would have called it something totally different, right? Like La La Land. It's going to be like La La Land, right? Or whatever. It's going to be this marvelous dimension, right? But he says, no, it's the new earth. And he calls it the new earth because in many ways, it's going to be like the old earth, except no sin, no curse, no fallen, no corruption, no tainted, nothing bad, nothing evil. It's going to be an awesome place, but it's going to be similar, okay? So a few thoughts from the Bible about what this new heaven and new earth will be like. Okay, first, as I alluded to, you will receive the gift of a new, resurrected, eternal, physical body. I feel like I'm a car salesman or something, right? You're going to get this brand spanking, new, eternal, perfect body. 1 Corinthians 15, 42 and 53. It is the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. So your body, even if you die, get buried, or even if you get cremated, right, you're going to be resurrected. Your body's going to be resurrected, but it's going to be perfect. It's going to be energetic. It's going to be never wear out or get old. 53, for our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. So our new bodies will be immortal. They'll live forever, but they are physical. Physical bodies, right? They are finite. They are eternal, but they are finite. They are physical. But you'll never get hurt. You'll never get worn down. It'll never get old. It'll never be broken. It'll never be diseased, right? But definitely physical, not this disembodied spirit kind of floating around. Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, right? Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, Luke 24:39. Jesus says to his disciples to prove it was really him. He says to them, look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. So he says, you recognize me. So you might be wondering, will I recognize people when I go to heaven? Yeah, you will recognize people. We'll recognize one another. Now, I don't know, there's a question like, well, what age will I be, right? And there's different, people have different theories, different hypotheses about what age we'll be at. Some people think, well, you'll see them as you kind of knew them, the age you kind of knew them. I don't know. But we'll be able to recognize one another. He says, it's really me. He says, touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. And so, Jesus is resurrected. When we die and go to heaven, it says, we will become like he is. We will be like he is. We will get a resurrected body, just like Jesus got a resurrected body, but it'll be a physical body, all right? A physical body. And it won't be some vague, intangible, unfamiliar kind of dimension. You know, many of the world religions, when they talk about afterlife, it's vague, it's indescribable, it's spirit, immaterial, like Buddhists, Hindus, many other religions. That's totally contrary to the Bible's perspective of what heaven will be. He says, no. There will be a physical earth you will live on, and you will have a physical body, okay? A physical body. Like I mentioned, the earth will be brand new. Let's look at these verses, Revelation 21:1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. Matthew 19:28. Jesus replied, I assure you that when the world is made new and the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne, and he describes it. This phrase in Matthew 19, when it says, when this world is made new, that word literally means regenerated or a new Genesis. When we have the new earth, it's a new Genesis. His whole plan was not to forget about the Garden of Eden and paradise, but he will restore it and resurrect it and make a new Eden. That's going to be the new earth, a new Eden. And it's going to be a physical place. So, from the Bible, understand, and that is so key to understand that it's a physical place. We're not going to this spirit place heaven. It's the new earth. It's the new earth, all right? And here are some things that the Bible says, alludes to, of what this new earth will be like. There'll be nature. There will be trees, fruit, rivers, water, mountain, food. We will eat. When Jesus was resurrected and he appeared to the disciples, he cooked fish in John 21. He cooked fish for them. He says, come and join me. Let's eat. Can you imagine what the food is going to be like? I know some of you are foodies. In heaven, we will all be foodies because it'll be so good. It'll be so good because God designed us to eat. We didn't have to eat. He didn't have to make us so that we eat, right? could have just created a body so it just continues. But he wants us to have and enjoy the pleasure, the goodness of eating, right? So there'll be nature. There'll be very. The Bible talks about the new earth as a city. In Hebrews 11:10, it talks about they looked forward to the new city. And so what is there in a city? Buildings, streets, right? Homes. All those government in place to manage the city. The Bible also says the new earth as a country, Hebrews 11:16. It's a country. So there will be governments, there will be departments, there will be an economy. There will be nations there, different nations, right? The Bible says in Isaiah 11 and Revelation 5, it talks about animals. Some of you, I know, love your animals. Some of you, I've heard different people talking about their fur babies, right? Their animals, their pets. It says in heaven, there will be animals in heaven. Because see, all the good things that God created, God in Genesis, right? He created everything and he stepped back and he said, it's all good before sin, before the fall. It's all good. And so all those good things God created, I believe it's pretty clear they're going to be part of the new earth. All the things you love and you enjoy that are good about here on earth, it's going to be there, but without sin, without corruption, without the curse. Talks about nations, different tribes, tongues, cultures. God created that. God created this beautiful mosaic of different nations, different ethnic groups, different cultures. And I believe it's going to be part of. Some people actually believe that there's going to be these different countries and different nations on the earth surrounding the New Jerusalem. And then you're going to have your own place, your own home. John 14, 1-2, Jesus talks about, I go before you to prepare a place in my Father's mansion, in my Father's house. Another word for that, in my Father's estate, there are many rooms. Jesus knows you better than anyone ever. He knows you thoroughly and completely better than you know yourself. Imagine Jesus, who knows you, knows what you like, knows your taste, as your interior designer. Joanna Gaines, move over. Jesus is going to design your place, so when you walk in there, here's your new home. You're going to be, oh my gosh. You're going to be gripped to tears. Because everywhere you look, perfectly designed for you. Perfectly designed. And the biggest thing physically about heaven, the Bible talks about New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is going to come down to be here on earth. Why is New Jerusalem so important? Because New Jerusalem is where the throne and presence of God dwells. And so God is going to physically bring his New Jerusalem down to earth. And he's going to come to bring his throne to live on this earth, the new earth, with it. You see what's happening there? Heaven and earth were separated after Adam and Eve sinned. There is a barrier between heaven and earth. And God interacted with earth some, and we interact with him, but there was a barrier. When he creates a new heaven and new earth, they're going to become one. Heaven and earth will be one. And he will come to live with us into eternity. look at this quote. I thought this was an amazing quote. We do not go to live with God in a spiritual heaven. He comes to live with us on earth. On earth. Let me read this, Revelations 21, because this talks about the New Jerusalem. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God, the dwelling place of God, is among men, and he will dwell among them. They shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. In Revelations 21:16, it describes this New Jerusalem. And it says, approximately, it's going to be 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep, 1,500 miles high. If you were to place the New Jerusalem right snap dab in the middle of the United States, or in the United States, it would go from Mexico to Canada and from California to the Appalachian Mountains, that big. And it would be 1,500 miles high. You know, let's say that was a building. Let's just say it was a building. That's the city. And let's say it had floors that were 12 feet tall, right, between each floor. You know how many floors it would be? 1,500 miles? 600,000 floors. Plenty of space. Plenty of room for even billions of people. And you will have your own space. And there will be trees. And there will be the tree of life in the middle that we can eat from to live forever. And there will be animals. And there will be your friends. And there will be community. And there will be government. And there will be all these things, much like earth, but perfect. No sin. No curse. None of all the bad things. All the things that you love and enjoy, you'll experience. Not diminished at all. But for me, the greatest thing will be able to see God face to face. To see God face to face, the one who made us. The one who loved us so much that he was willing to sacrifice his own son. The one who completely knows us and loves us with the fullness of all the love he has. And to see Jesus, our Savior, face to face. I want to get a hug from Jesus, a physical hug. A physical hug. You know, this morning in our hearing the voice of God's boot camp in that class, someone talked about, sometimes I imagine, right, getting a hug from Jesus once in a while. But then the person said, but you know, that's so good. I picture that. I sense his spirit giving me a hug. But the person said, but you know, there's something about actually a physical person getting that hug. There, you'll be able to get that. You'll be able to feel that. You'll be able to enjoy that. John 17:3, and close with this verse. Jesus says, this is eternal life. Jesus is defining eternal life. That they may know you, the only true God, Jesus talking to the Father, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Heaven is going to be a great place. It's going to be very familiar. It's going to feel like home. You're going to feel the fullness of God's love and the love of all the people around you all the time. No sin, no hurt, no pain, no death, no sorrow. Heaven's going to be great. But the best thing about heaven, we will be with God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. We will be able to see him face to face. And we will enjoy him, living with him into eternity. Can't wait. Cannot wait. Cannot wait for that. Next week, we're going to talk about, but what do we do in heaven? What are we going to do in heaven? What is there to do in heaven? So we'll come next week. Really, too, because of the Holy Spirit, even though we can't physically experience God, we can experience the Spirit of God. And we can start tasting and experiencing heaven now. We can know God. We can worship God. So let's do that. We're going to call the worship team up. Worship team, why don't you come on up? Let's do that, and let's bring heaven, a taste of heaven, to earth now. Now, okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the Bible, Lord, and what you reveal to us, what heaven's going to be like. Give us clues. You give us hints, Lord. And Lord, I just think it's so gracious and kind of you to create us, create this world, Lord, design it with your plans and purposes, and knowing, Lord, the things you made for us to experience and to enjoy. And Lord, I really believe that's your heart, that you want us to experience that, those things in full. And so, Lord, thank you for that. But thank you, Lord, that most of all, Lord, we get to see you face to face. We have all eternity to learn about you and get to know you and your ways and your goodness and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and blessings and favor. And so, Lord, as we come before you right now, Holy Spirit, would you come and bring the reality of heaven, bring the reality of your presence here, Lord, that we can worship you and express our love to you and our gratitude to you. And so, Lord, Holy Spirit, just come fill this place. Fill this place and draw us into your manifest presence, the presence of your Spirit. Release worship, Lord. Release worship so we can lift up honor, praise, bow before you, Lord, for you are worthy. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.